A weighted scale, the whispering scales, I stepped into the narrow alleyway, eyes scanning the flickering torches that cast eerie shadows on the stone walls. Cale Varn's reputation preceded him, a whisper here, a disappearance there. Subtle correction was his specialty, and I'd been hired to ensure his work remained unseen. The task seemed straightforward: monitor the blacksmith's apprentice from House Valen, who'd been acting strangely of late. As I settled into the shadows, the apprentice's hunched figure caught my attention. His hammer rose and fell in rhythmic strokes, sweat beating on his forehead as he labored over a glowing piece of metal. The air reeked of hot iron and coal smoke. My gaze drifted to the small, intricately carved scales suspended above his workbench, a token from his late father, a skilled craftsman who'd once been involved with the Order. Cale's words echoed in my mind, "Not every balance demands blood." Yet, I knew he had to walk where others feared, into hearts, into secrets, into judgment unspoken. If this apprentice was hiding something, it wouldn't stay hidden for long. My eyes never left him as I leaned back against the wall, hands tucked deep in my sleeves. The apprentice's labored breathing steadied, and I sensed a shift within him, a weight he'd been carrying on his own. Sweat dripped from his brow onto the anvil, his gaze drifting to the carved scales above. His hammer stilled, suspended midair as he let out a quiet exhalation. For a moment, we just breathed in tandem. His fingers tightened around the hammer's handle before it clattered to the ground. He rubbed the sweat from his eyes, then his gaze snapped toward me. Our eyes locked in a brief, charged moment. The air seemed to vibrate with the weight of unspoken secrets. In that fleeting connection, I sensed something more substantial than the task at hand. Perhaps it was the shared knowledge that even the most minor missteps could have far-reaching consequences in this world of fragile balances. He'd been walking a narrow path, too trying to hold his own against the expectations of his house and his family's legacy. I waited for his next move, hands still hidden away. The blacksmith's apprentice hesitated, glancing around the alleyway before stepping closer to me, voice barely above a whisper, "You're here to silence him, aren't you?" He knew I was watching over Cale Varn. I nodded once, eyes locked on his. "Then you should leave," he said quietly. "This doesn't concern you." His words were laced with the weight of secrets and the sting of loyalty tested. With a subtle inclination of my head, I acknowledged his warning without committing to either side. The apprentice turned back to his workbench, hammer in hand, and the quiet, measured rhythm resumed. I'd remain, for now, watching as he worked through the tangled threads of his loyalties. The apprentice's hammer strikes continued in measured strokes, but his tension was palpable, like a note played out of tune. I watched, my gaze tracing the lines of his face, eyes squinting with focus, jaw clenched in concentration. Sweat dripped from his brow, a rivulet down the curve of his nose. For a moment, I thought he might glance up again, but he didn't. As night deepened, the alleyway's shadows grew longer and darker. The apprentice worked on, lost to the task at hand. His movements were economical, precise, as if every blow was an offering to some unseen balance. I studied him, piecing together what little I'd gathered: House Valen's reputation for fine craftsmanship, the apprentice's obvious distress, Cale Varn's involvement, and a whispered rumor about the blacksmith's ties to the Order's darker past. Hours crept by in silence. The air cooled, heavy with moisture from the nearby river. My position was comfortable, but my eyes never left the apprentice. When he finally set his tools aside, his shoulders slumped in exhaustion. He leaned against the workbench, eyes closed as if bracing for a blow. In that moment, I sensed a decision forming, not about me or Cale Varn, but something else entirely. The apprentice's breathing steadied, and when he opened his eyes, they were set on mine once more. He straightened from the bench, the gesture deliberate, each movement weighted as if to convey a message, that some lines wouldn't be crossed without consequence. With a small, measured stride, he walked towards me. "You're not what I expected," he said quietly, his words as calculated as every strike of his hammer. His proximity forced me to adjust my stance, hands still hidden within my sleeves. The air was heavy with the weight of his unspoken intentions, attention so finely tuned it felt almost musical. His eyes roamed over my face, and for an instant, I thought he might reveal something more about Kaelvarn or the house's secrets. The apprentice's gaze lingered on mine, a silence that felt almost palpable hanging between us like a challenge. I'd expected hostility or fear, but his demeanor was guarded, as if he'd prepared himself for this moment long before it arrived. The air reeked of coal smoke and sweat, and I wondered if he'd been living like this for some time alone in the darkness. His eyes narrowed slightly as he searched my face, a faint crease forming between his brows. I sensed a curiosity there, a hunger to understand what I was doing here. For an instant, our positions were reversed, I, the observer, him, the one being observed. "What do you think of Kaelvarn?" he asked finally, his voice low and even, like the measured beat of a drum. I'd heard stories about the man's work, how he corrected imbalances with an almost surgical precision, walking the fine line between justice and mercy. The apprentice watched me closely, as if gauging my response. His eyes betrayed no emotion, but I sensed a flicker of hope in their depths, a desire to be understood. "He's a careful man," I replied, choosing my words with care. The apprentice nodded, the movement almost imperceptible. He took a small step back, his gaze never leaving mine, and retrieved a worn leather pouch from beneath the workbench. The motion was fluid, practiced as if he'd performed it 1,000 times before. From the pouch, he produced a silver coin, placing it on the ground between us. "Tell him," he said, voice still low, "that I won't be silenced." His eyes held mine for what felt like an eternity, the connection so strong that I could feel his pulse pounding in sync with my own. The alleyway's shadows seemed to deepen, as if the very darkness itself was listening. The coin on the ground sparkled dully in the torchlight, a small, shining reminder of the unspoken weight he carried. With a final, almost imperceptible nod, he turned and vanished into the night, leaving me alone with the coin and my thoughts. I crouched to pick up the coin, its weight a small comfort in my palm. The apprentice's parting words echoed through the alleyway, a declaration of defiance that hung heavy with unspoken meaning. I rose to my feet, tucking the coin into my belt pouch, and began to move through the winding alleys, following the faint trail of discarded tools and footprints he'd left behind. The city was alive tonight, its sounds a cacophony of laughter and music drifting from the taverns, the scent of roasting meats carried on the breeze. I navigated through the crowds with a practiced ease, my eyes scanning the rooftops for any sign of pursuit or ambush. The apprentice's decision to flee suggested he knew more about Kaelvarn's situation than he'd let on, and I sensed that I was merely a piece in a larger game. As I walked, the city gave way to a more seedy district, the part of town where rumors and whispers traded hands like currency. The air reeked of desperation and stale smoke. I turned into a narrow lane, the flickering torches casting eerie shadows on the walls as I descended deeper into the maze of streets. Ahead of me, a figure emerged from the darkness, the apprentice's slender form, his eyes darting left and right with a nervous energy. He slowed as he caught sight of me, his gaze lingering on the silver coin in my hand before moving back to mine. "I thought I'd lost you," he said quietly, voice low and laced with a hint of relief. His words were tinged with the desperation that often accompanies hope, the hope of being understood, perhaps even found. The alleyway seemed to shrink as we stood there, the silence between us heavy with an almost palpable tension. I tucked my hand into my sleeve, eyes locked on his. "Where are you going?" I asked, my voice neutral. His hesitation was almost imperceptible before he turned and continued down the narrow lane, beckoning me to follow. The city's labyrinthine streets seemed to shift and twist around us, but we moved with a practiced ease, as if our footsteps were choreographed to a rhythm only known to ourselves. We navigated through the winding alleys, the night air growing thick with an almost palpable sense of anticipation. I sensed that we walked into a world where allegiances were tested and balances were delicately maintained, a world where one misstep could mean the difference between life and death. The apprentice's steps quickened, his breathing deepening as if he anticipated the encounter ahead. As we turned a corner, a large wooden door came into view, its surface adorned with intricate carvings that seemed to shimmer in the torchlight. A single figure stood guard, an imposing man with a face chiseled from granite and eyes that watched us approach like cold, unforgiving stone. His gaze flicked to the apprentice before returning to me, his expression unreadable. The door creaked open as we approached, revealing a dimly lit corridor beyond. The air inside was heavy with the scent of herbs and something else, a pungent smell that hinted at the presence of alchemy or some darker art. My hand instinctively drifted to my dagger's hilt as I stepped into the corridor behind the apprentice, our footsteps echoing off the cold stone walls. As we stepped into the corridor, the guard's eyes never left mine, his expression a mask of stone. The air inside was thick with the scent of herbs and something else, a pungent smell that made my stomach turn. I pushed aside a faint queasiness, focusing on the apprentice's steady pace ahead. He navigated the winding corridor with a familiarity that suggested he'd walked these halls many times before. Our footsteps echoed off the stone walls, growing fainter as we descended deeper into the building. The air seemed to thicken, heavy with secrets and unspoken tensions. I sensed we were being led to some hidden place, one where the rules of the city's streets held little sway. The corridor eventually opened onto a small chamber filled with rows of wooden shelves, their contents shrouded in darkness. The apprentice moved to a shelf near the far wall, his fingers trailing over the various objects as if feeling for something specific. His eyes, though, remained fixed on mine, searching for some sign of understanding or betrayal. A faint click echoed through the room as he retrieved a small, ornate box from the shelf. Its surface was etched with intricate patterns that seemed to shimmer in the dim light. The apprentice's fingers danced over the lid before lifting it, revealing a handful of small objects within: coins, a vial of powder, and a rolled-up parchment tied with a length of twine. "You're not like them," he said quietly, his eyes locked on mine as if daring me to disagree. "Most come seeking answers, or gold, or power." His fingers closed around the parchment, his voice dropping to a whisper. "But you're different. You're looking for balance." The words hung between us like a challenge, or perhaps a test. I hesitated, unsure how much to reveal about my true intentions. The room seemed to shrink further, the shadows deepening as if the very darkness itself was listening, waiting for me to make a mistake. A faint creak echoed through the room, the sound of old wood shifting under weight. I turned towards the noise, seeing a figure rise from one of the nearby chairs. His eyes were sunken, his face gaunt, and his movements labored as if driven by some unseen force. He approached us with an air of resignation, his gaze fixed on the apprentice's hand, still wrapped around the parchment. "You found him," he said in a voice that barely rose above a whisper. "Good." His eyes flickered to me, and for an instant, I thought I saw something like recognition there, or perhaps it was merely a trick of the dim light. The man's focus returned to his companion, his expression twisted into a mixture of sadness and longing. "I've been searching," he said, his words barely audible. "For answers. For peace." The man's eyes lingered on me for a moment, his gaze roving over my face as if searching for something I wasn't sure he'd find even if it existed. His shoulders sagged beneath his tattered robes, and for an instant I glimpsed the weight of years bearing down upon him. "Come," he said finally, his voice barely above a whisper, "let us talk." His steps were slow, deliberate, as if each movement was a deliberate concession to the forces that bound him. The apprentice's eyes met mine once more, and for an instant I saw something like a plea, a request for understanding or, perhaps, forgiveness. He nodded slightly before turning back to his companion, following him deeper into the room. We walked in silence, the only sound the creaking of old wood beneath our feet. The shelves seemed to press in around us, casting long shadows that danced across the walls like grasping fingers. I kept my hand resting on the hilt of my dagger, a habitual gesture born from years of walking the city's darker paths. My eyes roved over the room, searching for any sign of danger or hidden threat, but there was nothing. The man led us to a small table set against one wall, its surface scarred and worn from countless use. He settled into a chair with a quiet sigh, his movements labored as if he'd rather not be here at all. The apprentice took the chair opposite him, his eyes locked on mine once more. I remained standing, my gaze flicking between them, weighing the dynamics at play in this hidden chamber. "I am Elwyn," the man said finally, his voice like the rustling of dry leaves. "I have questions for you." His eyes fixed on me with a quiet intensity, as if he'd been waiting an eternity to pose these questions, and I sensed that only one answer would satisfy him. The dim light in the room seemed to dance with a life of its own, casting eerie shadows on the walls as Elwyn's eyes bore into mine. I met his gaze, searching for any sign of what lay behind this moment, but found only a deep sadness etched into his face like fine lines on worn leather. "What do you know of balance?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper, as if the very act of speaking was an effort in itself. His eyes never left mine, and I sensed that he was searching for something hidden within me, perhaps a spark of recognition or a glimpse of understanding. The apprentice's hand still wrapped around the parchment, his fingers flexing as if holding onto something precious. Elwyn's gaze dropped to the parchment, his eyes tracing the intricate patterns etched into its surface. A look of pain flickered across his face, and for an instant, I thought he might weep. But instead, he drew a slow breath and began to speak, his words spilling out like autumn leaves rustling in the wind. "Balance is a myth," he said, his voice growing stronger with each passing moment. "A notion born of desperation, not understanding. In the early days, the Seekers sought to bring order to the world, but as time passed, they realized that every scale tips towards chaos. We've tried to right the balance with blood and fire, only to have it swing further in the opposite direction. And so we continue, perpetuating a cycle of violence and suffering, all in the name of maintaining the balance." The air in the room seemed to thicken as he spoke, becoming heavy with the weight of his words. I felt a shiver run down my spine, as if the shadows themselves were responding to his tale. The apprentice's grip on the parchment tightened, his knuckles whitening like stone. "What do you think it is?" Elwyn asked, his eyes snapping back to mine with an unspoken challenge, a test of whether I could see beyond the myth and grasp the truth that lay hidden beneath. His gaze was piercing, cutting through the shadows and into my very soul. As I met Elwyn's gaze, I felt the weight of his words settle upon me like a shroud. "Balance was a myth," he said, "a notion born of desperation, not understanding. But what did that make the Seekers, who continued to seek balance through blood and fire? Were they merely perpetuating a cycle of violence, or was there something more at play?" I searched Elwyn's face for answers, but his eyes only seemed to hold a deep sadness, a sense of resignation born from years of struggle. His words hung in the air like a challenge, one that I felt compelled to answer. The apprentice's hand still wrapped around the parchment seemed to tremble, as if the very idea of balance was a physical strain on him. The room fell silent once more, with only the creaking of old wood and the faint scent of dust breaking the stillness. Elwyn's eyes never left mine, his gaze burning with an intensity that made me feel like I was being stripped bare, laid open to the very core of my being. The air seemed to vibrate with unspoken questions, each one a scalpel slicing through my defenses. I took a slow breath, feeling the familiar weight of my sword at my side, a reassuring presence in this dark and labyrinthine place. Elwyn's words echoed within me, setting off a chain reaction of memories long buried: the city's burning streets, the cries of the innocent, the endless cycle of violence and suffering. I remembered the Seekers' promise to bring order to a world gone mad, but what had become of that promise? My eyes snapped back to Elwyn's, searching for answers in his haunted face. But all I saw was pain, the weight of his years bearing down upon him like an unyielding yoke. The silence between us grew, heavy with unspoken truths and half-remembered lies. It was as if we were both waiting for something, a spark of recognition, a glimmer of understanding, or perhaps just a respite from the crushing weight of our shared past.